Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you're having a good day. Not good Friday, but it is a good Friday, right? I mean, it's a good Friday, so it's good to be with you. We're going to try to get Iowa State Senator Jake Chapman on the phone, and we were trying to talk to him the other day. He was one of the leading forces behind SF-359, Senate File 359, which is now law in the state of Iowa. God bless you, Iowa, and everybody else there in Iowa. So praise the Lord for that, because it was back on Friday, May 4th, that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed legislation into law that day that prohibits doctors from performing an abortion if a fetal heartbeat is detected. So that's what's going on in Iowa, and that's probably ACLU, Planned Parenthood. There's going to be all kinds of people that go right after that to obviously declare that it's unconstitutional because of Roe versus Wade. And that's really what you hope happens, that one of these pro-life laws somewhere will be strong enough and will be written in such a way that it would end up going all the way to the Supreme Court, where they would have to reconsider Roe. And is it actually against the law? And now you got a constitutional showdown there, because you're talking about equal protection under the law, 14th Amendment, some other things. So we'll see what happens with that, but praise the Lord that it got passed. And the governor's standing up, the legislators are standing up, everybody out there in Iowa that's behind this bill are all kind of standing up. And that's great. So we'll see if we can get a hold of Senator Jake Chapman. We'll try him a couple more times during the show. We did talk to him on Wednesday, and it looked like his schedule was going to be okay for today, but we don't have him yet. So we'll see what happens. And Howard, go ahead and keep trying. Howard's my producer in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So Howard, just give him a couple minutes and try him again, which will give me an opportunity to jump into two other stories. This is all on the pro-life side here today. And if you want to join us on Facebook, just go to your Facebook page, and in the search box, just put the Steve Noble Show, Steve Noble Show, anything like that's going to be fine, and you'll find us, N-O-B-L-E, the Steve Noble Show, and you can join us live in the studio versus Facebook Live. And we're going to go through a couple of articles here. Something that took place in Glamour magazine, which is obviously not showing up on the kitchen table at the Noble House. And then another article about a doctor, a former doctor, had been sentenced to 20 years in prison for slipping an abortion pill into his pregnant girlfriend's tea. Now, before you say that sounds horrible, you have to remember where you live and what the law is in this country. Because if we're saying, and we are, that via Roe versus Wade, that is not a human being, it's not a child, it's not a person, then how can you possibly convict somebody like this former doctor? How can you possibly convict him of murder if what he did not result in a murder? So you can't, right? We let people out of prison based on DNA evidence for that kind of stuff. So Matt Walsh, a man was sent to prison for killing his unborn child. He should be released immediately. So I want to talk about that as well. But this Glamour op-ed, holy cow, and it's just kind of difficult to encounter stories like this and to deal with stories like this and try to make sense of it. And if you sit there and go, well, you know, the world is crazy. Well, of course, you're correct. And if you go crazy or insanity, what is the definition of insanity? Insanity is being out of touch with reality. Well, what is reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, what is truth? Well, now you sound like Pontius Pilate, right? Except we know what truth is. Truth is reality. Truth is defined by the creator of all reality. And that, of course, would be God. So when people are outside of God's truth, they are literally crazy. They act crazy. They say crazy things. They do crazy things. They pass crazy legislation. And so that's why you see when you sit there and go, if you're a Christian, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you say, hey, the world's going crazy. People are going crazy. You're actually right. You're theologically right. You're by definition, you're right. And so that's what takes us into this article. Glamour op-ed, abortion is an act of motherhood. Literally, that's what it says. So this is this article in the Conservative Free Press just recently. Man, oh man, there's something about Mother's Day just a few weeks ago that really brings out the kooks. Feminists and abortion fanatics get really uptight at this time of year for reasons that are perhaps obvious. But while we can, with effort, endure pro-choicers who have a difference of opinion when it comes to abortion, we find it hard to stomach people like Dr. Ghazala Moyeti, who penned an op-ed for Glamour last week, right before Mother's Day, saying, "Motherhood made me a better abortion provider." Now let that one sink in for a second. And this is where my several sides of Steve Noble come out when I read something like this. This doctor actually said, "Motherhood, a woman, made me a better abortion provider." Or let me rephrase that. Being a mother made me a more effective killer of other mothers' children. Because that's literally what she's saying. In the article, she said, "Motherhood made me a better abortion provider." But in reality, what she's saying is being a mother and having my own children has made me a better murderer, or perhaps more effective murderer, or perhaps a more profound murderer of other mothers' children. That's really what she's saying. The kind of title that makes you think, really? Back to the article. That's the best thing that came out of having a baby? Anyway, that title is far from the most astounding thing, Dr. Moyeti says in her op-ed. Again, this was in Glamour magazine right before Mother's Day. After admitting, reluctantly we assume, that motherhood comes with unbelievable joy, she says, quote, "My joy was a privilege, one that depended on factors like my partner, my social support, and importantly, my ability to choose when to parent." Well, there is a way around that, Dr. Moyeti. When to parent, like do it or don't. Nod, nod, wink, wink, right? Got it? You with me? No, becoming a mother is not like the joy of, say, getting that awesome promotion at work or winning the lottery. Those are moments of happiness, and we're not taking away anything from that feeling or accomplishment or luck. But to compare it to the joy of motherhood means you've missed it. Missed the fact that the joy of motherhood is inseparable from the joy of creation, which is to say the joy of God. It may be a privilege to experience that joy, but it's not one dependent on anything in your life situation. You don't even have to believe in God. All you have to do is be there, present, fully. It's a gift, not an achievement. Dr. Moyeti is probably not the first or the last woman to mistake the joy of motherhood for something else, but she is probably the first woman to make this extraordinary assertion. Okay, so this is directly from the article in Glamour magazine, okay? Directly from Dr. Moyeti's pen to your ears and hopefully your heart. And so we're going to go right into that when we come back. Here's how she started. "I'm often asked whether providing abortion care is hard as a mother, as if abortion somehow exists in a realm outside of motherhood." Well, yeah, in order to have abortion, you need to have a mother and, ding, 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 a child. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website. You can grab the podcast, all our former shows, which there's a bunch of them because we've been doing radio for a little over 10 years, and excited and thank the Lord for that. I'd like to say the Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network, which Call to Action was the original name of our organization going all the way back to 2004 when I became, do you remember, for those of you that are old enough, and that's most of you, back to the 2008 campaign between Barack Obama and John McCain. Do you remember Joe the Plumber? Do you remember that guy, Joe the Plumber? So he's just an everyday guy, and he shows up at a press conference, and he gets into that about being a small business guy and all that kind of stuff. And so he had his 15 minutes of fame. He was Joe the Plumber. I'm essentially like Steve the Painter, right? So back in 2004, just kind of minding my own business, running my house painting company. And God had other plans, and so Call to Action was born. We were a Christian grassroots, political, culture war machine. And then a few years later, God saw fit to put me on the radio, and Call to Action This Week was born. We were on Saturdays for 3 years and then got off the air because I was tired of trying to push a square peg through a round hole, and I just got weary of it and raising money and all that stuff. And a few months later, he called me back onto the radio, and quite obvious a different way. So I got back on the radio, and that was when Call to Action Today started. So we went from Saturdays to daily. While I still had my business, which makes for an interesting challenge, spinning plates in the air. And then a few months later, that was February of 2010, A few months later, God sells my business almost out from underneath me. And the things that I tried to make happen over the last few years prior to that and couldn't because it wasn't up to me, God made happen in about 90 days. And all of a sudden, boom. So call to action the organization, to call to action this week, to call to action today. And then just recently, we just relabeled the show. I'm the host to my name. That's kind of a more of a radio thing. So the Steve Noble Show on the Call to Action Radio Network, now in 13 or 14 different states. We praise the Lord for that. Back to this really messed up, disgusting article about an op-ed that appeared in Glamour magazine. So if you get Glamour magazine, I hope you'll reconsider. So this is from a doctor that penned this op-ed, Dr. Ghazala Moyeti, who's a mother herself, okay? So here's what she said. I am often asked whether providing abortion care is hard as a mother, as if abortion somehow exists in a realm outside of motherhood. But motherhood is not an accidental or natural job. Motherhood is a job done with intention. Holding my tiny baby's hands in my own not only strengthened my commitment to providing compassionate abortion care, but also exposed how I needed to commit to supporting mothers in all aspects of my care. Now just think of how twisted and sick and evil this type of thinking is. Let me rephrase, if I may be so bold, what she said. I am often asked whether killing other people's babies is hard since I'm a mother, as if abortion somehow exists in a realm outside of, well, motherhood. But motherhood is not an accidental or natural job. Motherhood is a job done with intention, meaning, you know, you, unless you were raped, it was done with intention. Holding my baby's tiny hands in my own not only strengthened my commitment to providing compassionate murder to other people's babies, but also exposed how I needed to commit to supporting mothers in all aspects of my care. See how twisted that gets if you read it accurately? Back to the way she wrote it. There is no Mother's Day card to celebrate abortion. Like, see, now this is part of me just wants to, I'm just going to be brutally, I'm going to be brutally on. Part of me just wants to say, burn in hell. That, hey, lady, you're going to burn in hell. That part of me is there, right? It's there. Call that righteous indignation. Call whatever you want. The other part of me is like Jesus, bloody, beaten on the cross, looking down at this woman and saying, Father, forgive her, for she knows not what she does. And I'm sitting there going, hey, Lord, yes, she does. She knows exactly what she's doing. But she's captured by her sin. She's enslaved to it, right? I mean, this is... So I say burn in hell, and Jesus says, well, actually, I'll forgive her if she comes to me. There's no Mother's Day card to celebrate abortion, this doctor says. There are Mother's Day cards to celebrate giving hugs, wiping noses, and kissing boo-boos, actions that are seen as the core of how a mother expresses love for her children. For my patients who are not parents and did not want to be at that moment, or who never wanted to be a parent, I recognize their abortions as an act of intentional motherhood. Now, if you're having a hard time processing this, that's because you're sane, right? Most likely born again, a Christian, a follower of Christ. Let me go back. Let me read that again. It's really, oh. For my patients who were not parents and did not want to be at that moment, what moment, ma'am? The moment that I killed their baby. Okay, or who never want to be a parent. So if you don't ever want to be a parent, you know, get fixed or don't have sex, right? I recognize their abortions as an act of intentional motherhood. Choosing when to parent is an act of love of yourself, not of the child you're murdering. I added that part. For my patients that were already parenting, I feel the deep love they had both for the children they had and for the pregnancies they were ending. Sieg Heil, right? I mean, I can see the Heil Hitlers flying in the background. Choosing an abortion is an act of love. Burn in hell, right? Are you with me? I'm like, hey, lady, burn in hell. You're going to burn in hell. And you know, I might as well jump up in the air and click my heels together. It's just so sick. It's not a great thing to be rendered speechless when your job is to write. But what can you even say to this? This is from the article about the op-ed in Glamour magazine. Any condemnation would be overkill. If you read that and need someone else to tell you why it's inhuman, you are lost beyond any help we can give you. We guess it's not shocking that an abortionist would have a thought like this, but it is a little shocking that a national magazine like Glamour would choose to publish it. Shocking and, quite frankly, nauseating. So there's that. And then this other article from Matt Walsh, who is brilliant, a great writer, great communicator. I think sometimes he lacks grace, but I understand where he's coming from. And he's talking in this one about a former doctor who been sentenced to 20 years in prison for slipping an abortion pill into his pregnant girlfriend's tea. He will serve 3 years of the sentence. He should serve 0 years, says Matt Walsh. He should not have been sentenced at all. Why? Well, because you can't commit a homicide if you even killed somebody, right? And a fetus must either be a person or not a person. The consent of the mother is irrelevant to the question of personhood. A thing is what it is, no matter how anyone feels about it. So, Matt writes, if the pro-aborts are right in their view, then this man committed vandalism by destroying his girlfriend's property. At worst, he committed assault by damaging a part of her body. But homicide? No. Homicide, by definition, is the deliberate and unlawful killing of a person. An unborn child, by definition, at least by the demented, unscientific definition that serves as the entire basis for the Roe decision and the pro-abortion cause for the past 40 years, is not a person. So which is it, Matt writes? We cannot have it both ways. We should not have it both ways. We only want to have it both ways because, in the minds of many people in our culture, it feels so much worse when a man kills his child. All of the bodily autonomy stuff, the woman's rights stuff, the female liberation stuff, no longer serves as an effective cover. All you're left with is a guy killing a baby. We reverse ourselves suddenly and just for these isolated cases so that we can preserve our moral indifference. Man. So Matt's right. If we're going to say it's just a blob, it's not a human, it's not a person, then nobody should get sentenced to anything for acts for, you know, intentionally eliminating that thing. So let the guy out of jail, even though he killed his child. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And, looking forward to Monday. Most people, and rightfully so, are taking Memorial Day off. I don't take Memorial Day off. I always do the show live because I feel it's incumbent upon me to honor those that made the ultimate sacrifice. Memorial Day, obviously, we celebrate and remember and honor those that have lost their lives in service to the country through the military. So I'll have several things that I'll share on Monday and then open up the phones. So if you... we'll be available Monday during the show if you listen live from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, depending on where you live. Like out in Iowa, we're going to be talking to Senator Jake Chapman here in just a minute. They're an hour behind us, so it's 3 to 4 p.m. Central time out there, listening live on the Truth Radio Network there in the Des Moines area in Iowa. And I'll be here on Monday doing the show live for Memorial Day. So if you would like to honor somebody that fits that category in your life, a spouse, a son or a daughter, a husband, wife, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, then Monday I want to give you the opportunity to do that. So I'll be live here on Memorial Day. I'll share some things, but I'd much rather turn it over to you and let you honor those in your life that paid that price to serve our country. So we'll do that on Memorial Day. So today we were talking about a couple of those articles and what happened recently in Iowa, which is a huge praise, that they were able to pass the Senate file 359, which was the heartbeat law, which now makes it illegal to abort babies with detectable heartbeats. And hopefully, God willing, that will go straight to the Supreme Court one of these days. But one of the great leaders and elected officials there in Iowa that led that fight was Senator Jake Chapman, who's with us today by phone. Senator, thank you so much for calling in. Sorry that we had to kind of bebop around a few times, but we really appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm sorry we couldn't connect earlier.
No worries, then. No worries. We're there now, and praise the Lord for it. So let's kind of get back into a little time machine here, Senator, and tell us how this bill got started in the first place and your role in all of it.
Well, I think you actually have to back up a few years. For several years now, I have been pushing a bill to define life beginning at conception. And that's what I truly believe, is that that is a human being and a person from the moment conception occurs. So last year, we pushed hard on that piece of legislation, and ultimately we ended up with a 20-week abortion ban. I do believe that broke the ice to be able to get something more significant done this year. This year, the Senate, Iowa Senate, on a party line vote with all Republicans supporting it, passed a very clean heartbeat bill. It was as simple as if you could detect a heartbeat, it would be illegal to perform an abortion. We passed that out early in the session. It went over to the Iowa House, and the House sat on it for quite a while. They had some difficulties getting the votes necessary to get it out of committee. They then took that bill and attached it to Senate File 359. Senate File 359, the original Senate File 359, prohibited the sale of baby body parts. And so the heartbeat bill was attached to that that prohibition and ultimately passed the House with several exceptions to the heartbeat bill. And we took it up in the Senate and sent it down to the governor's office. And thankfully, she signed that into law. So beginning July 1, as soon as a heartbeat can be detected through ultrasound, which is usually around 6 to 7 weeks, I remind you, though, that a heartbeat really begins at about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So technology continues to improve. It will reduce that time frame. But ultimately, starting July 1, abortion will be illegal in the state of Iowa once a heartbeat is detected.
And what kind of opposition, because I know it was stout, have you encountered? And some of that being in your own party, some from the other party, some from inside Iowa, some from outside Iowa. But kind of take us into that world, Senator Chapman, as to what's that look like over the course of this battle?
Yeah, it's a fierce battle, but it's a battle worth fighting. Anytime we're talking about life, the singular most important issue we can deal with as legislators, there is a battle. And what I have learned is that an entire industry has been built on the abortion industry. There's money being circulated. It is just an entire web of industry based around killing innocent life. And so, yeah, we had fierce opposition. We had, of course, those particularly in the House. It actually sailed through pretty easily with amongst my colleagues in the Senate. Like I said, we didn't have a single Republican deflect on that, and we passed it unanimously with Republican support. Of course, Democrats walked up against it. But when it got over to the House, you're dealing with twice as many people, and unfortunately, there were several that even voted against it at the end of the day. It is a fierce battle, but there was a group of legislators that got together and basically demanded that we have a vote and get this bill passed this year. And so I'm very proud to be a part of that group to make that happen.
And what did the people of Iowa, the voters, your constituents, what was the kind of the temperature in Iowa throughout the course of this effort?
Well, anytime you deal with an emotional issue like this, it gets emotionally charged. And so you've got people that are absolutely love what you're doing. And then you've got people that will send you the death threats. I mean, that's the way it is. But I will tell you, I think as a society, we have come a long way since 1973. To put it in perspective, in 1973, that's when airbags were developed. That's when the founders of Google were born. Right? And so we've come a long way since 1973. And I believe our society recognizes that there is a false narrative being pushed by Planned Parenthood and by these other abortion groups that want to confuse people to think that this is just a lump of cells. Well, when you see a 3D ultrasound and you see a baby sucking its thumb in the womb, that narrative fails.
Sure.
It just doesn't hold up to scrutiny. And so recently, even before the session, the Des Moines Register did a poll of Iowans, and Iowans by 55% support defining life beginning at conception. That's a majority of Iowans agreeing that we should define life at conception. Now, I remind you, that's the Des Moines Register poll, and that's probably the lowest number they could possibly find for that poll. So it's probably even higher than that. And so I do think there is a shift, and I believe society is changing their views on abortion. And like I said, a lot's changed since 1973, and technology has played a key role in that, in changing those beliefs.
Absolutely, and it was, did you know that you were going to have Governor Kim Reynolds. Did you know that the governor was going to have your back from the get-go, that once this bill made it to the governor's desk, that it would get signed?
Well, the governor always tends to, on big issues, reserve comment to see what we end up passing. But the governor has been a pro-life champion and has stood solid on pro-life issues. And so I was pretty confident that if we could get this to the governor's desk, that she was going to be able to sign that and rally the troops to get that done. And so I'm very proud of her, despite the opposition, despite the false narratives, and despite all of the backlash from the extreme left wing. And I think this is common sense legislation, and I hope other states will follow suit.
And I know,
I believe, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and ACLU came out, you know, almost immediately that they were going to file suit. So I was going to ask you, and we'll hit the break here in about a minute, but I was going to ask you about the legal challenges, and did you guys write this legislation, and just to use the phrase, as in the hopes that perhaps it would be a silver bullet that could get shot at the heart of Roe versus Wade?
We have full transparency in what we are trying to do with Senate File 359, and it comes as a surprise to some of my colleagues on the other side. They're shocked that we are unabashed and unapologetic for doing it, but there is no question the purpose of Senate File 359 is to challenge and overturn Roe v. Wade.
And so what's going on right now in the courts there in Iowa?
Well, as you pointed out, the ACLU and Planned Parenthood of the Heartland has filed suit. What's remarkable about it is they're filing it in state court, trying to challenge it under Iowa's constitution. I think that is a great signal for the pro-life movement that they are very fearful of what could happen if this goes to the United States Supreme Court. I believe there's still an avenue to make that happen, but they're trying to test the waters under our state constitution before they challenge under federal.
Sure, yeah, because they could have gone right to a federal suit, but they didn't, which you're making a great point, shows that they're not so convinced, probably, that that's a great route, especially in whether you love Donald Trump or hate him. The fact that Neil Gorsuch in there is leaning the court in the direction that you might actually be able to see them overturn Roe versus Wade one of these days. And so I want to, do you have some time, a couple more minutes after the break?
Absolutely.
Senator? All right, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold real quick. Got a couple more questions for Senator Jake Chapman from Iowa. And just praise the Lord that there's legislators out there like Senator Chapman and the governor who are willing to stand firm on the cause of life. And hopefully, let's all be praying for them because they need our prayers. And hopefully, one of these days, we'll see this end up in the Supreme Court. This is Steve Noble. We'll keep talking to the senator right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. The website, thestevenobleshow.com, N-O-B-L-E. And you can also join us on Facebook, facebook.com. And just in the search box there, just put Steve Noble Show and you'll pull it right up. So we do Facebook Live. By the way, I was just interacting with some of my friends on Facebook Live. And one gal on there was mentioning a nephew of hers that's in the military and deployed for 7 months. So at the end of Facebook, the radio show ends, and the Facebook Live, we don't stop right at the end of the radio show. We actually hang around for a few minutes, and sometimes it's been up to 15 and 20 minutes, and we pray together. If I have a guest, we pray about what we're talking about. We'll pray about the life issue today at the end of the show, but we'll also pray if you want to join us on Facebook Live. Again, just go to Facebook and just put Steve Noble Show in the search box, and you can join us there. If you have active military in your life, and we're doing this ahead of Memorial Day on Monday, jump on to Facebook Live and just share a little bit in the comments section. And then with all my friends on Facebook Live, when we're done with the radio show, we're going to pray together. And so we talk about prayer, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's Christians, followers of Christ, pray. We actually do that at the end of every show. And sometimes we just stick around. I say, just throw your prayer requests up there. I'd be honored, and I am, to pray over them. And we'll just pray together on Facebook Live after the show, which is great. It's just it's a great use of technology. It's a great blessing and the most powerful weapon in our arsenal. We're talking to Senator Jake Chapman from the great state of Iowa. They just did a Herculean job in continuing to push for the sanctity of human life. The Senate File 359, which is now a state law, which is called the Heartbeat Law, which makes it illegal to abort babies with detectable heartbeats, which usually at this point is about 6 weeks. And again, Senator, let me just, on behalf of everybody listening to us, thank you personally for taking this stand and doing the work and defending the issue of life, which is great for this country in general. And I know, of course, it's glorifying to God specifically.
Well, thank you. Really, the thanks goes to, you talked about prayer. I mean, I received countless emails and phone calls of people that were praying for not only me, but for the cause. And I feel very strongly that those prayers have been answered. The fight's not over, but we made a huge stride in the right direction. And so really the thanks goes to all the many people that are out there that hold this issue dear and have been fighting. I'm just a very small player in the game and feel very privileged to be able to be a part of it.
And so the court cases are going to start at the state level, which is them testing the waters, as you said, have they brought their suit already in the Iowa court system?
They have. So there will be arguments beginning June 1st. And so, they're well underway in their court challenge. One of the issues we heard from the opposition is, well, this is unconstitutional and it's going to cost taxpayers, millions of dollars. The Thomas More Society... our state attorney general recused himself. He's a Democrat, recused himself of defending the state of Iowa. The Thomas More Society has come in and will be defending the state pro bono, so at no cost to the taxpayers. And they're a great organization that they're going to fiercely defend the law we pass.
Well, and I was about to ask you about that because we had the same problem here in North Carolina when we passed a marriage amendment, for example, which was back in 2012, and this was before Obergefell happened up at the Supreme Court, but our attorney general, who's now actually the governor of the state, God help us, was recused himself, said, I will not defend this law, which I thought we should have actually impeached him because that's a dereliction of duty. But up there, let me just finish with this one, Senator, then we'll let you go, and we're coming up on a holiday weekend, so I don't want to hold you any longer than we have to, but just in terms of dealing with the opposition, be it Planned Parenthood, ACLU, the pro-abortion crowd, how did you kind of look at them personally? I don't know anything about your faith relationship with God and where you're at with that, but just how did you kind of look at the people that were so vehement? You mentioned death threats. I know it gets nasty. I've been in this battle myself for about 14 years, but how did you kind of handle looking at people on the other side of the issue?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that people have different life experience. And as a legislator, I think it's important that we hear from all sides. That doesn't mean that we agree. We try to understand where they're coming from. And, there's going to be issues you just simply will not agree on. And you do it in a respectful manner. I think it's also important to recognize that when we go out and we speak on these issues, there are women, there are men who are struggling personally because of past decisions they have made.
Yeah.
And so I'm very cognizant of that, and I always let them know, there's always redemption, there's always repentance and forgiveness.
Amen.
And so, they've had different experiences in their life and different struggles. And so I just dealt with them in a respectful manner, but I stood very boldly for what I know is right. And that's the way I hope the pro-life movement continues, is to stand courageously, stand boldly, to stand respectfully, and be a support there for those who struggle with past decisions that they've made or folks that they know have made. And so I guess that's my message is to continue to stand strong.
Yeah, and that's excellent. Very well said. Iowa State Senator Jake Chapman, thanks so much for spending some time with us on the show. And thank you so much again for your work.
Thank you, Steve. And a big shout out to our military, as you have pointed out. They're out there fighting just as hard to defend our freedoms and our lives and our rights. So
that's exactly right.
Have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks, you do as well, Senator. Thanks so much for talking to us today. That was Senator Jake Chapman from the great state of Iowa and our friends up there on the Truth Radio Network in Des Moines and Ames, it's just a great radio station and a great team up there with Chris, who manages the station, and our good friends at Truth Radio, which God has used to enable us to be on the air in the first place. So we just thank God, and that's why, hey, listen, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday with Jim Young, who was on with me, talking about why we study the Bible and the authority of the Bible and how to study the Bible and what you do with it, your responsibility in terms of Bible study. And Jim had started this ministry called Capital Commission, which is now in 23 different states. And you can find, and when you go to that website, just pray1tim2.org. Just like you were hearing from Jake Chapman, and if you heard him, the senator from Iowa, who mentioned, you know, death threats and stuff like that. This is serious business. It's nasty. And and every elected official that we have, every person in leadership, governmental leadership, absolutely needs our prayers. And that's why God said, in no uncertain terms, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we are called, we are commanded to pray for those in authority over us. And just a little reminder, it was Paul that wrote that. And what authority was he saying to pray for at the time? That was Rome under the control of Nero, who used Christians as tiki torches. Okay, so, and he's saying, pray for these people. And it's obvious why they need it, but that's why we need to lift up people like Jake Chapman and others all across the country, whether it's in your state or Iowa or Indiana or Albuquerque, New Mexico, or out there in California, wherever you're listening to the show. So go to pray1tim2.org. That's the website, an incredible ministry. You'll see a map of the country. Click on your state and just sign up. And each day, like I did early this morning, you will get an email. There'll be one member of Congress from your state. And then there'll be people from your state house and your state senate. Doesn't tell you what party they're in, because if you're anything like me, sometimes when I first started getting those, I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to struggle for me as a conservative voting for or praying for a Democrat. But it doesn't give me that. I just see their names. I see their faces. I see where they're from. And then you just pray for them. And then it actually gives you perseverance or discernment or wisdom or salvation, whatever it is. It'll give you a little prompt on what to pray for that day. But boy, if you've never been regularly praying for those in authority over you, you need to do that. And I'm telling you, it's God will bless you because you're being obedient. And it will also help you engage the political realm. That's why I asked the senator that question about how he looked at other people. And he's cognizant of the fact, listen, in most churches today, you'll get 25, 30, 35% of the women in the church, a good, solid evangelical church, are post-abortive. So you can't dive into the subject and forget that. And also, like we were talking earlier with some of these articles, people are lost, people are a slave to their sin. And I think deep down, because God has placed eternity in the hearts of every man, woman, and child, you know it's murder. Everybody knows it is. Just like everybody knows God exists. There's no such thing as an atheist. Go read Romans chapter 1. And so you got to remember that. You got to have the heart to remember that, like C.S. Lewis said, you've never met a mere mortal. Everybody's either an everlasting splendor or an eternal horror. Everybody is either going to heaven or hell. And so they were made in God's image. They have an estimable worth, whether they're in the womb or they're in their mid-30s or they're 89. And so you got to love people and respect them and treat them as such, even when they hold these abhorrent views on things like abortion. So make sure you're doing that. Pray1tim2.org. Pray1tim2.org and sign up and start trying out that obedience to God thing. I know you'll be blessed. All right, so let me lighten it up here just in the last minute and a half of the show. I'm a Star Wars fanatic. For those of you that are on Facebook Live, you'll notice, most days of the year, I probably have a Star Wars t-shirt on. So yeah, I went to see the new movie last night, Solo, a Star Wars movie, a Star Wars story, which is about Han Solo, origin story. Han Solo, Chewbacca, Lando Calrissian, that whole thing. And I was not, I went in there with some fear and trembling, some trepidation about it. I'm like, somebody as iconic as Harrison Ford and all that stuff, how are you going to pull that off? Well, they did a much better job than I expected. I think Lando, particularly, Donald Glover, really nailed it. But I thought Erlich, he's got a really strange name. I thought he did a really good job, too. Halfway through, I was like, yeah, it's Han Solo and Lando Calrissian. If you're a Star Wars geek like I am, there's all kinds of things that come into the movie from some of the TV animated series and some of the books. So that was cool. It was fun. It was like a Western kind of crime syndicate kind of robbery story in outer space, and pretty much nonstop action all the way through. So I really loved it, really enjoyed it. So I recommend it to you, and I think it's safe pretty much to take any kids. A couple little H words here and there, but nothing major. Really safe for the whole family. So there you go, two thumbs up from a Star Wars geek for Han Solo, which should not shock you. Okay, this is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. I'll be here on Monday.